Good Monday afternoon, Las Vegas. You're listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, also our Rebel Room podcast on the Las Vegas Sun website. I'm Ray Brewer alongside my colleague friend Ryan Green. Ryan, big basketball week in town. You've seen every recruit on UNLV's radar, and judging from your tweets, judging from your stories, UNLV is looking pretty good if all these guys come. Are they good? What are you seeing? Break it down for me, kid.
All right, well, before we get into that, I got to get a bit of free advertising to Jimmy John's because this is my favorite sandwich in the world. It's funny because during the basketball season when I'm up in this area every day, I get this sandwich probably 3-4 times a week. Number 12, the Beach Club.
I like turkey, but I don't like
Diet Coke. Though.
No, it just doesn't look like a big enough sandwich.
Oh, it's delicious. They have the best bread ever.
I know, but yeah, bread and I don't
do. You're
not
a bread guy.
Well, I am a bread guy, but if I'm going to go ahead and eat a sandwich, totally off topic, but it's not going to be that small.
This isn't small.
To me, that looks like a small little hoagie-sized, more lettuce than meat type of deal.
Oh, there's meat in there, trust me.
Okay.
A lot of it.
All right. I mean, you've got your favorites.
Jimmy John's, baby.
I like
right by Trop in Maryland.
I like Porta Subs myself.
I do like Porta Subs, actually. Ever since I discovered Porta Subs, actually, I have not gone back to Subway, nor will I.
Really?
Yes.
See, I think the price at Subway is just so right for me.
Yeah, but
for whatever it's worth. I like how they have how they freshly slice the, you know what I'm saying?
At Porta Subs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Anyways.
So I'll pay for it. I'll pay to watch that.
The extra dollar.
I'm just praying that they never, cut a finger off into my sandwich.
And the weird thing is,
luckily you can see it all.
I always think that during when they're making, I'm like, oh God, please don't, because I'd feel bad, but I'd still want my sandwich in a timely fashion without any blood.
I'd probably just leave at that point when I see a guy cut his finger off into my sandwich. I'd probably just leave.
Okay, I mean, I would too, but I mean. You're right. Good point. I mean, I don't think it would fall into your sandwich. I think it would fall on the other side of the cutter.
A guy who's dumb enough to cut off his own finger while making my sandwich, I do not want making my sandwich.
And you know that happens every day. Without a doubt, that happens every day in America.
I'd love to get the numbers on the number of meat slicer accidents in restaurants per year.
Yes. Speaking of sandwiches, Dave Rice, you followed him around 15 hours Saturday.
Yeah, let's start with that.
Guy only had a Snickers in 15 hours?
So Wednesday morning or Tuesday morning, you'll be able to read this story on LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. Followed Dave Rice on the recruiting trail Saturday. He was kind enough to let me tag along. His staff, Justin Hudson and Heath Schroyer, they were great too. Were totally cool with me just kind of being a fly on the wall. And about, I think we were in 4 different gyms over the course of the day. Met up with him at Sierra Vista High School, your favorite school in town, 8 a.m. Was with him until well after 11 p.m. In 15 and a half hours, I believe all I saw Dave Rice consume was a Snickers bar, a bottle of water. These are in order, we'd go bottle of water, Snickers bar, and a small vanilla milkshake from In-N-Out Burger. How's that possible?
See, how do you go to In-N-Out and only get the milkshake?
Especially when, at that point, too, it was almost 9 o'clock. I mean, it was late.
Did you get a hamburger?
No.
Okay, now, if you were doing that with Rick Majerus.
I did get a hot dog at one of the games earlier in the day because I was just starving.
Wow.
I was like, does this guy ever eat lunch?
And that's how dedicated of a recruiter he is to his craft. Mm-hmm. I mean, 15 hours, that's 4 meals for most guys.
Gotta give him credit. Gotta give him a lot of credit. Hey, it's I'll tell you what, those guys have to have the worst diets in the world because... Actually, we were on our way at one point to meet Justin Hudson in between games at a Kentucky Fried Chicken over near Eastern and 95, but Dave got lost, and he has no shame in admitting that he is terrible with directions.
And you weren't going to help him out?
I did help him out some. I helped him. I helped him navigate the way from Bishop Gorman to Rancho.
Because you have gotten lost before.
Oh yes.
Okay. But
I was on my way to Gorman once about 3 years ago, and I wound up in St. George.
College from Utah, first year.
That's what Dave Rice calls Centennial High School. He calls it St. George High School.
Yeah, Utah. It's so far out there.
Yeah.
But you're listening to LasVegasSun.com. We're talking UNLV recruiting this week. All the AAU tournaments are in town. It's the open evaluating period for coaches. What that means is they could watch you, they could drool over you, mm-hmm. but they can't come talk to you and tell you they want you to come to your school. Ryan had the luck of spending all day Saturday with UNLV coaches as they gallivanted around town looking at recruits, seeing how they would fit into the UNLV puzzle. All week on LasVegasSun.com, we've documented all the recruits, and I think just the guys they're recruiting, the talent level, in my opinion, and I don't know talent, appears to be better, Ryan, than the yeah. caliber of player that the previous coaches were recruiting.
They've definitely they're aiming high, and I think it obviously starts with Shabazz Muhammad, who is just about the consensus number one player in the 2012 class in their own backyard. But you know what? It's really interesting because not only are they aiming high with some of these guys who they're recruiting, but, you know, and this is no knock on Lon Kruger and his staff at all, but during these this weekend in Vegas in late July every year, it seemed like, you know, their staff would spread out, have one coach at particular gyms, one coach at a gym, one coach at a gym. They'd be looking at, you know, anywhere between wanting to see, I'd say, 20 guys over the course of a weekend. Dave Rice and his staff really narrowed it down. They kind of have a philosophy where they want to target before this evaluation period who they want to watch. They don't use this evaluation period really to evaluate so much as to make sure as many of them as possible can show these guys that they are serious about recruiting them. And that means as many games as humanly possible, they want to have at least two coaches at. I can recall three different games we were at over the course of a 15-hour stretch on Saturday where all three coaches were in the gym for the same game. Stacey Ogman had the day off, so I say all three. That's impressive. It's kind of a different philosophy. But, you know, you go to these games and you look around and, look, these kids are looking in the stands to see who's there watching.
Yeah, they want to know.
There's no question about that.
They want to know who's interested. And moreover, on your point, I thought the previous staff, and not a knock on them, they were maybe looking more for the diamond in the rough or the player they could develop or somebody that would fit into their system, where the current staff, at least from the players they're recruiting, sure, they're looking at guys that are going to fit into their system, but they're looking maybe just for the best player available mm-hmm. or somebody who's going to run and gun and push the ball up the court yeah. and be a little more exciting. And I think that's exciting for fans. And for me, the most impressive part of the 3 days or the 4 days is every time Shabazz played or every time a top UNLV recruit will play, all the fans were there cheering for him. Yeah. And that being seen, to me, is equally as important mm-hmm. as Rice and his three assistants in the crowd being seen. Even one game, LJ was there and Tark was there.
Yeah, you wrote a great story about that. That's up on LasVegasSun.com right now. From Friday, about the fans showing up in force to watch Shabazz, and they showed up to a few games Friday, but they really didn't stop throughout the weekend. They went and saw Shabazz play on Saturday. There was at the Rancho North Gym, he tomahawk jammed on someone late in the game, and there was actually a Rebels chant coursing through the arena or through the gym a couple times. So, look, let's just get into it. There's I think after this weekend, we can narrow down a list of guys who they are a little more serious about than others. You know, let's start with the commitment late last week, because that's obviously the guy they're most serious about because he's in the fold. That's Daquan Cook, a 6'1 point guard from the Baltimore area. You know, I talked to you know, some people about him over the weekend. A tough point guard who really his biggest two things that he's going to have to add when he gets to UNLV, consistent jump shot, and about 15-20 pounds. But other than that, they love the way this kid can score, and they love his attitude. They love how hard he plays, how hard he works. He's, you know, he's from a tough area in East Baltimore, so he's, you know, he's got some toughness to him. He always has. And, you know, this is a guy who we look at and say he's a little bit under the radar, you know, by the rankings and the scouting services and everything. But from the sound of it, the staff's pretty high on him.
Yeah, and I think the important part for me is he's from Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And the UNLV, there's a lot of right now, Ryan, in my opinion, a lot of good energy about the UNLV program. You know, I don't want to take too much talk into a tweet, but Dickie V tweeted last week that he thinks Rice is going to bring it back. And I talked to another AAU coach who told me, you know what, the UNLV brand, the UNLV name is real hot right now, and it's spreading across. And here's a guy from Baltimore. You got to remember, back when I was a kid in the mid-'80s, they'd get Booby James from Baltimore, Anthony Jones from Baltimore. So that's an area where UNLV has had some success in the past. And to build this thing, you're going to want to be able to eventually go after top 50 kids year in and year out. And those top 50 kids aren't all going to be from L.A. or all aren't going to be from wherever you recruit.
From Vegas.
Yeah, from Vegas. Yeah. So being able to go into Baltimore and maybe have a guy who has some success from Baltimore in Vegas, I think this kid committing is a lot more significant than just, oh, the first of five.
Well, now the shift focuses, because now you have four vacant scholarships at least. You know, they might get more commitments than what they have scholarships allowed, but you know, we're going to go on assuming it's five. One down. The next three guys, I think, you know, who I think may be your most likely to commit / most gettable targets, none of them are locals. So, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the Ben Carter and Shabazz Muhammad, Morant, Shepard. We'll talk about those guys in a little bit. But a few guys who I had a chance to see for the first time this weekend, Matt Wilms, 6'11", Canadian center. He plays his high school ball in Detroit. Plays for an AAU team called the Detroit Stars, which is coached by, let's try not to get confused here, coached by a guy named Tyrone Lofton, who Stacey Ogman goes way back with. And that's how he was kind of brought to UNLV's attention. A 6'11 center, very thin right now, but very coordinated. I talked to him on Friday. He mentioned he thinks his coordination comes from playing hockey for so long. I said, you're 6'11, how'd you play hockey? Grew 13 inches in the last, you know, 3 years, or in about a year and a half. Between 8th and 9th grade. So he's raw. But the UNLV staff loves him. They had multiple coaches at every one of his games. I would have to assume that this might be their next commitment to come in. He's a little bit under the radar, still like Daquan Cook, but has Minnesota after him, St. Joe's, San Diego State's interested. So I heard one coach, one Mountain West coach, on the sidelines the other day compare him to Trent Plaisted from BYU a few years ago. I put that on Twitter. There was a little bit of negative feedback. I don't think that's so bad, is it?
Well, I thought he was a good player, but he played for BYU.
He was a second-round draft pick.
Yeah, and he was a long guy who could also hit a jump shot.
Yes.
Which I think is invaluable in a system where Rice is going to have, where the three-point ball is going to be important, and having somebody who could draw the defender out to hit that would be huge. For me, with Wilms, the thing that's important, I think, is that he's a project. You're not going to bring five guys in and have all five guys get minutes right away.
And let's clarify, you don't need an elite-level big man in this class. You can take a guy who's going to take a year or two.
Yeah, and here's another situation, another part of the nation that you're opening the door to. And, you know, and I think you said this best when you and I were talking offline a while ago. Here's a guy who's under the radar, who's a project, and everybody is complimenting Rice. Oh, he's not leaving any rock unturned. If that was Lon Kruger, it'd be like, Lon Kruger can't go in and get the big boys withdrawing with Lon.
He's taking the project.
Yeah, he's taking the project. So I think just the attitude change with the new coach and the positive energy is illustrated right there. Now, I would hope, though, that if you take two projects, which I guess you could say Cook kind of is.
He's a little bit.
Just under the radar, more or less, and Williams, that you go after three guys that are ready to rock and roll, which I think with the guys that are out there, if they could get two or three of them, they could definitely do it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I thought Carter was closer than maybe you did, incidentally.
I thought he was, too. No, okay. I definitely didn't. Now it appears he might. You know. There was, I think just from overhearing other coaches this weekend, I think it's kind of a wide assumption that he's going to wind up at UNLV. I just don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, or at least not in the next couple weeks. I think he's going to take his time. But, you know, talking about kind of spreading the canvas and maybe looking outside of Las Vegas for some guys who are a little more – excuse me, I'm
– you're a mess right now.
I'm hiccuping here. I'm trying not to get it out. Yeah, all right. But a couple guys from outside of the area who are maybe more ready to play right away. Two who I noticed the staff take a very serious look at this weekend. One was Caton Reinhart, about a 6'4 combo type guard from Mater Dei, which everybody knows about Mater Dei. He You know, I was really under the impression after talking to the UNLV staff about him that he kind of filled that role of just the pure shooter they were looking for. But now I've learned they're recruiting him really as a point guard. And I think more is I talked to Caton after his first game on Friday when he was playing with Belmont Shore, and this is a kid who hit, I think, 3 threes in that game, but he also showed incredible ball handling skills. He ran the point the entire game. Nice confident swagger to him. And I asked him about his recruitment with UNLV, and he said, well, one thing Dave Rice talks about when we're on the phone is he compares me, you know, to talks about how he'd give me the same type of freedom in our offense that he gave to Jimmer Fredette. Now, not saying he is Jimmer Fredette, but I think this is a guy who Dave looks at who could fill the same role. A point guard, sort of, but really a score-first point guard. And a very interesting recruitment going on. He was a former USC commit. He decommitted back in, I believe, May, and now his recruitment is wide open. And when I asked him the schools that were looking at him the hardest, he didn't mention one California school. He mentioned UNLV, Texas, Baylor, Syracuse, North Carolina State was the last one. And then, just last night, he got an offer from St. John's.
Well, there you go. I mean, and I guess that, you know, Coach Rice had success at BYU in that system with Jimmer Fredette. So there's no problem trying to duplicate it. And to tell a kid that, hey, I'm going to have the same confidence in you to take the big shot or to take a shot whenever you feel like it, I think has got to be a huge, huge selling point.
Now, what a great chip to have to sell the kids.
Yeah.
That are that type of player. That you were the guy whose offense, because I asked Reinhardt, he said, well, everybody knows that Dave was the big offensive guy there and they had Jimmer Fredette. Kids know. And I think you're probably going to have, a shelf life of about 3, 4, 5 years on using that on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, unless Jimmer turns out to be Jordan.
What do you mean?
If he turns out to be an NBA legend. You can say, well, I was Jimmer's coach in college.
Oh, yeah, then you can use it forever.
You can use it forever. I don't know if getting both Cook and Reinhardt then, if Reinhardt's going to be more of a one or a guy who brings the ball up the court, do you think that that's kind of – You just got yourself a backup in Cook then, or do you think they could coexist in the same lineup? Or
I think they could coexist. I mean, I think look at the way that Emery and Fredette coexisted. They could both bring the ball up. They could both set up the offense. They could both score. They could both shoot. I think, and I think you're in a position where you do need more than one point guard in this recruiting class.
Yeah, and I think you might scare some people comparing them to Emery and Fredette, but folks, remember that was a top 10 team. Mm-hmm. So don't think, oh, they're recruiting to be like BYU. That BYU team
scored about 100 points a game.
And lost 3 games.
Yeah.
And went to the Sweet 16. That's not a bad spot to be.
No, not at all. And another guy who I noticed there was a real heavy interest in that, you know, maybe even more so throughout the weekend. And we'll jump into the locals after this because there's kind of a tie as to how do you set up this recruiting class, was DeMarquise Johnson. 6'5" swing man. He's originally from Detroit. Has family in the Riverside area, moved out with his relatives, and now he plays at Westwood Prep in Arizona. I can't remember exactly where that's located, but 6'5", really nice outside shot. I saw him score about 30 points on Saturday morning without being selfish at all. Just kind of lets the game come to him. He's a dynamic athlete, a nice defender, and I think the staff's interest here is much more serious than maybe we thought it was a week ago. Now here's the question. I think the staff feels real good about getting potentially Wilms. I think they feel really good about Carter. I think they feel pretty good about Reinhardt. You know, if you get this DeMarquise Johnson kid, and I don't know, this seems like this kid's recruitment might go a little while too. You know, what are you kind of thinking with Shabazz? Because I think that's the top prize, and I think there's no question UNLV, you know, they don't want to scare him off, and they want to be in it for the long haul.
I mean, yeah, I think you're not in the position to turn players away. So if you take the first five who commit, whether it be – because I was going to ask you, what if somebody out of the woodwork like Shepard decided to commit, which definitely won't happen, but the offer's on the table, and the offer's still on the table for Morant.
Mm-hmm.
So you there's, you know, at least six – if you include just Shabazz and Morant and the others you mentioned, there's 7 spots right there. You can't cut somebody. You can't say, well, listen, Bryce, you're out of there. I mean, could you manage to find a way for everybody to play? Because you definitely want to stay in with Shabazz. not just because he's an awesome player and he instantly makes you great, but because kids are going to follow where he goes. He could if he commits to UNLV, he opens the door for other top 10 McDonald's guys to come to UNLV. So you don't want to shut the door on that, but at the same time, you don't want to give up a good player. So it's a real, catch 22.
I think if DeMarcus Johnson wants to commit, you take it. Dave Rice made a point of, when we were talking about recruiting and philosophies, he's talking about how you're never going to bat 1,000, and you need to know that. I know they really want Shabazz. They're doing everything they can. The fans are doing everything they can, as we've seen and read of lately. You can't count on him as a sure thing.
And he's not a sure thing.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what's going to happen. And a recruiting class can, if you hold a spot all year for Shabazz and say he waits until April to decide and then decides to go, say, to Duke or Kentucky, well, then you're left.
You're left, but if you take another guy instead, you kind of say, "Well, you're accepting defeat with Shabazz." I'm all for taking four.
I don't think you're accepting defeat. I think Shabazz knows that one way or the other it would work.
Okay, because if you took four and then you're in the Shabazz sweepstakes till the end, and he picks Kentucky, do you take a JC kid maybe, or because Rice was a JC kid, Tark had success with JC kids.
I think you have some on the back burner. There's
okay, no question. Or do you just carry it over for another year, or do you take a transfer in the summer?
You got a lot of options.
So, I mean...
But I'm not of the opinion that you hold spots.
Okay, because I'm also of the opinion that, if Carter and Morant want to come, do you take both those guys? Or now are they the same guy? Right.
Glad I don't have to deal with these issues.
Yeah, because, Morant is another project who's real rough offensively. So now you've got yourself two projects with... the Wilms kid who we think is coming, and then Morant who is so raw offensively. He's a great dunker, great defender, great rebounder. Will not score a point offensively. Mm-hmm. Now you've got yourself two kind of projects. And remember, Dave needs to win here in the first few years to help with more recruiting classes and to continue the bus.
That's the thing, too. He talked about this a little bit this weekend. They're really in a fortunate situation, and he couldn't credit Kruger enough because he talked about how they're left with such a great foundation to start with that they can have success early, and I think they really believe that they will. So I don't think they're really dealing with as much pressure on the recruiting trail as maybe some of us thought going in.
Okay, because I think with BYU leaving the league. San Diego State kind of having they're still going to be decent, but kind of remaking their playmakers. UNLV's got to be a front runner, I think, to win the league.
I think them in New Mexico going into next year. I think New Mexico is probably the most loaded team in the league, and I think UNLV is 1A. I really do. I think if I were voting today, I'd vote for New Mexico because there isn't a changeover in style of play. Who's to say UNLV's not going to struggle out of the gate with some of these changes with the style of play? I know we all think it sounds easy to get out there and run. It's not as easy as you think, and there's a lot of work to be done. And on top of that, UNLV has a very tough non-conference schedule.
And UNLV has a lack of finishers, and the players on the team have they could always come out and be cold because there were several nights last year when they just couldn't shoot. And, part of the run-and-gun fast-break offense is having somebody that could finish in transition. Yeah. And if you look at that lineup, we don't know how Moser's going to be, even though we suspect he's going to be awesome, right? Stanback can't take the ball to the hole. Marshall can't shoot, even though we think he's going to be able to shoot, and he could definitely finish. Mm-hmm. We don't know how Belfield's going to play into the offense, right?
Mm-hmm. A lot of questions.
A lot of questions in terms, especially when you're looking change into that new style. Mm-hmm. Because there's not anybody on that roster who I look at as like, 20 points a game, book it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm right there with you.
I just talked myself out of UNLV winning the league. Right there.
You got him in the NIT now, don't you?
No, I got him taken. I don't have him on New Mexico's level. But, the league is wide open. It's going to be – I don't think – after the league was so great last year with San Diego State and BYU in the top 10.
I like that it'll be wide open, though.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to have that national punch to it anymore.
We'll have to wait and see.
We will, but and who knows? Maybe Colorado State will be better, which we think they will be. But it's just so crazy how you spend 1 week out looking at recruits and you're thinking how the team and the roster is going to look in 3 years. And, you know, how is Dave Rice going to turn this program? How is Dave Rice going to put his stamp on this program? Mm-hmm. And if anything I learned is that the talent level is going to be better and the style of play is going to be more exciting. Now, is that going to equal more wins?
We'll know soon.
You know, is UNLV ever going to return to its elite status that it enjoyed when I was a kid or in the 90s? Probably not. But is it going to be that team that is always on the NIT bubble, which I think they've gotten away from maybe the last two or three years?
I don't think so.
So where's the happy medium? Is the happy medium maybe a Sweet 16 berth every 4 years, every 5 years?
I think they're going to do better than that.
Okay.
I think. But who knows? I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on the talent that comes.
Sure. And listen, folks, you're listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, our Rebel Room podcast. We're always breaking it down on our website. If there was a crystal ball I could look in, besides telling me the football team's going to win five games, which I'm always wrong on, that's double what the sports books say. I wish I could tell you how the basketball program's going to end up.
And obviously we'll get into more of that in the next couple months once practices start. We get a good look at all this, you know, but it's not worth stressing over just yet.
Yeah, but there's a select few people out there who probably are stressing over it.
Don't.
You know, but it's, you know, I wish I had answers for them now because I'm kind of like, you know, the one thing I give you credit for, bro, is you are so tied in with all these fans and websites and people know Ryan Green's the authority, kind of, you know what's going on behind the scenes. And now, after my little story last week, I'm kind of following all these guys and I mean, there's a significant amount of people out there, or a small but loyal group of people out there who 24/7 are like UNLV on the brain. And if they're not getting Shabazz, if, the, you know, life is coming to an end, you know, and I got to give these guys credit, though, because they've assembled an army to recruit Shabazz. You know, there's the Nike video that you wrote about. You know, there's the going to the gym and to the games and, you know, still, it's a long shot that the kid comes here. Is his family going to have to move if Shabazz doesn't come to UNLV?
I don't think he'll get that bad. I really don't, because I think Shabazz or no Shabazz, you're going to have a recruiting class that's exciting and people are going to be excited about.
Yeah.
I really do. I think unless this recruiting class just falls apart, which it won't, they'll be fine. And to follow it all, again, LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. Have the story up Tuesday morning about following Dave Rice for 15 hours. All that jazz, more to come in the next few weeks. But, Ray, before we get out of here, hold on first really quick.
I had a question for you that I was going to compare UNLV recruits.
This is the sound of Jimmy John's success. But anyway, speaking of the college football totals you mentioned, before we get out of here, 2.5 wins is the over-under. Now I got to take the over.
I would take the over, too.
You got Southern Utah and New Mexico. And if you can get lucky...
Colorado State. You got a bye week for Colorado State. You got 10 tries to get paid.
I like it. Now, but I still can't go with 5.
5 is a little high, and you're right. And you got to admit, the offensive line for UNLV is ragtag, not experienced.
They're young, but who knows? Maybe they'll surprise some people.
Hey, life is full of surprises.
Yes.
I was going to compare one of my favorite reality shows. You know I'm a reality show guy. Mm-hmm. The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Okay.
UNLV is kind of like that girl on The Bachelorette that, you know, and Shabazz is the bachelor that they're kind of stringing around. They have fun with them, but at the end, it's just not that sexy Mercedes that might be Kentucky. Anyways, LasVegasSun.com Sports.
Where did that come from?
I'm just comparing the recruiting process to The Bachelorette
so
or
UNLV's
The Bachelor.
Like what? They're not a beat up Hyundai, but they're what, like?
No, they're just like the
a nice solid Toyota Camry.
No, they're like that girl who's fun to be around that you know you could see yourself with, but ultimately there's that shiny hot model.
They're like a Mazda Miata.
Whatever they are, they're like a Mazda Miata. Anyways, LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. For Ryan Green, I'm Ray Brewer. See y'all next week.